Want to learn a safer way to lose weight? Book a free consultation at Eastside Weight Loss Clinic. Hey, Jason Rantz here. They've unlocked a secret that could help you shed a pound of fat daily. No injections or drugs. Their program focuses on swift weight loss and resetting your metabolism naturally and safely. With their dedicated staff by my side, I was able to reach my weight loss goals quickly. From my experience, it's not just about meeting goals. It's a lasting lifestyle change. Eastside Weight Loss Clinic didn't just help me lose weight. They helped me keep it off. This isn't a temporary fix. It's committing to a healthier future. Their team ensures you're supported throughout your transformation journey. Join Eastside Weight Loss Clinic for a sustainable path to a healthier you. Learn more at eastsideweightlossclinic.com.
Dr. Ryan Coogan, D.C. Results may vary.
Ouch! The yellow light!
I'm walking here! I'm walking!
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rantz Show on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app, which allows you to hear the show live, but also watch the show live. So if you don't have the app downloaded, I recommend you get it immediately. Rape charges hit a UW football player. Some on campus have a simple question. Why did it take so long for us to learn about it? That is what's trending.
What's trending? Bad guy alert.
The King County prosecutor is charging a UW football player with two counts of felony rape. He was arrested on Friday of last week. And according to the court documents, he is 18-year-old Tylan Rogers. I don't know, is he he's 18, so probably not a superstar with UW, but is he a noted name?
He was a freshman and he had some flashes here and there throughout the season.
So it's fair to say, though, he was not like, we're not talking about Penix star level.
No.
Right. So we're talking about someone, he could potentially be
some potential,
18 years old. Maybe he's got a future here. We'll see how he does as a sophomore, then a junior, and then maybe a senior. Well, now he's no longer the team. Obviously, he's been hit with this. He's been charged with second degree rape and third degree rape. He was held on a $300,000 bail that he has since got dropped down to $150,000, which has since been paid. So he has been released, according to Como TV. Now, they report on the court documents that say he raped two college students who had nothing to do with one another. These were two encounters that occurred as a result of Tinder matches. One of them, at least, according to the court documents, he met at a party but didn't know her name, then saw her on Tinder, and then met up. They swiped right, they chatted, then they got together. He then allegedly raped them. Obviously, incredibly serious charges, disturbing charges when you read some of the details. And these were two college students. One goes to Seattle Central Community. The other one is an undergrad at UW. Now, police said that they arrested him on April 5th, and they arrested him around 9 a.m. And we only started to hear this story last night. That's when it broke. That's when the news reported it. But obviously, Seattle had made the arrest SPD, but apparently the university didn't say anything, didn't put out a statement, didn't put out even an alert that an unnamed student has been arrested for this. Nothing. And that has rubbed people like Sammy the wrong way. She's a UW student.
I don't even know how to describe it. It's just absolutely inexcusable what he did. That's really disheartening and just horrible to hear about. And I think it's even worse that I go to the school, I go to the football games.
I don't know if that's worse, but I hear what she's saying. They say the athlete has been suspended from the team and will stay suspended until further notice. They say they're going to continue to gather facts. They'll cooperate with law enforcement as requested, which is just an odd framing of a statement. We'll totally cooperate as requested. So you only do what they'll ask. You're not going to do like above and beyond to make sure that we get some of the details as to what happened. Isn't that a weird?
Not great optics at the very least.
Right. And I will say this, not to make an excuse and not to sound funny. Their comms guy is out. He's not in this week. And he's the one, Victor Balta, is the one who, for the most part, puts out all the statements. I'm assuming maybe they do things as a group, but the main guy is out. And so I legitimately wonder if part of the reason why it just is a weirdly written statement is because the main guy isn't there. Here is another student named Hadley.
It really feels like they let a lot of their students down if they're letting that to continue to happen on their teams. It's even more prevalent that it's on the football team, which is such a big name, such something that represents our school and something that brought us so much pride this year.
Now, her first allegation there, I believe the context is that the rapes allegedly occurred last year. There's no evidence that I've seen, at least, that they were aware of him being reviewed as a rapist, right? I did not see that. I didn't take a deep, deep, deep dive into the court documents, because at the end of the day, to me, this is a story about obviously the crime, and everyone else is going to call or going to talk about the crime aspect of this, which is obviously important. But for me, I was interested in a reasonable, at least on the surface, request that you tell us about something like this as a student, that this happened on campus. Different campuses have different rules. I know my alma mater, Occidental, I believe they have an alert, a text that goes out when something like this happens, when it happens. And they say, hey, just FYI, this happened. We're not going to name the student until the student, maybe they might not even ever name the student, but we're not going to name the student, hasn't been charged, but there was arrest this evening at 9 o'clock for rape in the, whatever it is. And you just put that out there because number one, people are generally going to notice when a whole bunch of cops show up and make an arrest. They're going to wonder what happened. If they can see it, the people who know who was arrested will start spreading rumors, and then it gets around and it could create, you know, a pretty unhealthy environment on campus. The question, however, is also, and I think that this is also reasonable. Sometimes they're false allegations. And we do also have to acknowledge that we're supposed to presume innocence until proven guilty. Now, most people don't do that, right? Almost 9 times out of 10, they're just going to look at the facts of the case as outlined in court documents and immediately decide, oh yeah, of course he did it. Of course, they clearly have evidence. Look at this. And, you know, fair or not, that's just how everybody kind of reacts. It's personally, you know, unless in the end the person is, in fact, not guilty, then yeah, I'll feel bad then. But for the most part, I think when we're talking about pretty despicable acts of crime, boo-hoo, you might feel judged when I think in good faith that you actually did it. It's a little bit different when we're talking about a nuance kind of crime, like a harassment case. Or even a hate crime case where there's no evidence, but they're making like, okay, I can maybe see being a little bit, you know, more fair, I guess. But the other thing that bothered me about this story was yesterday they didn't name him. They just said it was an 18-year-old. I don't even know if they said the age at first, but they just said a UW football player. That's wrong. Sorry, that is not fair. That is not fair. You've got other UW football players who I'm assuming are 18 years old. And now you're telling us that, well, this person did get, he hasn't been charged yet, so we're not going to name. You know he's going to be charged. So in a case like that, why don't you just name the person? I get the policy of not naming until someone's charged. And, you know, I suppose if you wanted to know outside of news, this is what I would do. I would just go to the King County roster, the jail roster, look up everyone's name and age, and then I would figure out who it is. It's usually not that difficult. You can search by the last 24 hours, right? You can search for the last week. You know who's in custody, who's not. But the average person is not going to do that, nor do I expect them to do that. I do expect a little bit of fairness. That's why, and I have these internal, we'll not call them arguments, we'll say discussions, with the editors of KTTH.com and MyNorthwest.com. I am a believer in you name everyone. And they have a policy that doesn't always name people. Now, usually I do it anyway, get yelled at, and then say it won't happen again, and then I do it again. But usually for me, it's not about these kinds of stories because I don't generally cover these stories. I cover teachers, right, a lot of bringing nonsense into the classroom. And they'll say, well, the teacher didn't break any laws. True. They brought in, making up a story, the gender identity nonsense or something like that. Yeah, but you want me to say at a, you know, Puyallup High School, again, just making that school up, an English teacher. Well, how many English teachers do they have? Now am I scarring like 9 of the 10 English teachers there, and people are going to wonder and speculate. I don't like to do that. I like to name the people. And if someone's arrested, it's public record. So yeah, I will obviously treat it differently than if they were charged. I wouldn't say, oh, this rapist got caught. No, someone was arrested, hasn't yet been charged. They have a first appearance tomorrow or whatever it is, and then you move on. I don't see why that's so controversial. Unless, I suppose, you were the person who was arrested and it was false. I get that. How often does that happen? Not often.
Not that often.
No. I mean, everyone says they're innocent. They're almost always lying. But it does happen from time to time. And at that point, you can apologize. But I think that there's more benefit to telling people the info rather than holding it back. Because if I'm an 18-year-old kid on the UW football team, which, again, based on at least that one woman's comments, sounds like they've got a reputation, fair or not. I think sports teams just, they have that reputation sometimes, and it's often not fair. Sometimes it's totally fair. But, you know, I would feel pretty bad if people say, hey, are you in jail right now texting you? Like, I imagine those text messages went out at some point. The teammates, I'm assuming, knew about all of this. I'm assuming. I don't know if they actually knew about or when they found out that this had occurred. Okay. There's no answer. And I'm not going to pretend to have an answer on this one because I don't. I can legitimately see both sides with the exception of the name part. I'm let the record show I'm right on that one. Push the button.
What's trending? Let's get political.
There is a new Democrat talking point, and people would not recognize it yet, unless they do what I do, which is basically consume all the news that's possible to consume in a world in which I hate myself anyway, so I might as well just lean into it. I watch all of this stuff, and I have a pretty good memory. There's some things that just escape my memory, like, oh my God, what's your name?
Starts with a J.
Like Johnson's name. I'm just not good with names. Every once in a while, I'll forget. Especially if I've met you. It's actually weird. If I've met you, I will forget your name unless I see you every single day for a very long time and I get used to saying name. I am not, mostly because I don't care what your name is. Mostly when I'm being introduced to people, that's not, will I ever see this person again? Probably not. I don't need to, I've got too much stuff up here. I don't need to commit a name now if I'm never going to meet you again. Would it be polite if I did? Sure. Am I a polite person? Depends if I'm in character or not. That's the truth. And oftentimes I put myself in character so I can be rude and get away with it. But I remember stupid talking points. I just have a brain that picks up on these things. And I first heard the talking point from Pete Buttigieg. He was doing the interview on MSNBC. And, you know, the question is obviously about the election, who is best suited to the office, the guy who's still there or the guy who used to be there. And Pete Buttigieg, of course, is going to, you know, boost up Joe Biden. And he used a really bad argument.
Well, if you just look at where we were 4 years ago, you couldn't buy toilet paper sometimes. We were dealing with so many issues, not just as a consequence of the pandemic, which hit everybody hard. But even if you look a little bit past that, the economy was growing, but not as fast as it's growing now.
I mean, that you shut down the economy. So yes, of course, it's going to grow when you turn it off. But the whole toilet paper one was just weird to me. And I don't know why it stood out, because it's not more ridiculous than anything else he was saying during that interview. But it really stuck out to me because I'm like, really? You're blaming him? Because I seem to recall you were the secretary at the time where we were having the problems with getting goods onto shelves. That he was in power. And I especially remember that because I have a good memory, but I remember the Ted Lieu speech that he posted. He's a congressman. He's a troll from San Diego. He posted on his Twitter feed a speech he gave about how everything has gotten back to normal. And the very next day, there was this big story about how nothing has gotten back to normal as far as the you know, the clog of getting everything on. And he deleted the video on his Twitter feed. And I saved it because I knew it was a dumb one. And every time I see him, I just post the video over and over and over again. So that's number one. Number two, even if it happened during, like, why would you blame? I wouldn't even blame Biden. If this was at the beginning, People were hoarding. What do you want? Any given moment, for whatever reason, everyone right this moment decides to go to a store and buy up all the toilet paper or buy up all the apples or buy up all the whatever. You're going to have a run on them. That is how it works. So I'm not going to blame Donald Trump for that. Reason why I bring it up now is Congressman Eric Sorenin from Illinois, Democrat. He said this.
I mean, look, you know, in the previous president said, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? 4 years ago, we didn't have toilet paper, right? We are better off than we were 4 years ago. We are in the right direction.
I like that that's the bar.
The price like, can of you goods, get two the, price of inf- or the cost of inflation is going down.
Is the cost of inflation going down? Or did we get a report this morning that said March was actually higher than normal?
We did.
And the market's kind of tanked today.
Yeah.
Okay, just correcting the record. He did, in fairness to him, he said this yesterday afternoon or last night. It's still a stupid comment, but the toilet paper thing jumped out at me. That's, again, why would you pick that very specific issue? Y'all said nothing about toilet paper for the last few days. Now, maybe Pete had the runs at the time and that was just on his mind, but could Eric and Pete have the runs at the same time? And we're inspired to bring up a toilet paper reference? No, this is a talking point. I bet you they're going to start using this way more often in the next few days and see how it goes. And if it picks up, it'll go for months.
Well, you never know. There could be like a bug going around Capitol Hill and, you know.
Ew. Why'd you put that in my head? I already did the runs part and I immediately regretted it because I had horrible images in my head. And then you just leaned into that? What's wrong with you? Seriously, what's wrong?
A lot of things.
Why would you say that? But you mark my words. This, I guarantee you, becomes the next big talking point, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it when it happens. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Foodie edition.
So apparently we're supposed to name the next apple. I don't know why, but apparently there's a new kind of apple, and I'm not talking about the web machine. I'm talking about a literal fruit. And because people, I don't know, I guess the university that's happening at Wazoo, they want people to get excited and talk about it because then they'll talk about Wazoo and then maybe subconsciously someone will say, I want to go to Wazoo when I graduate. I'm assuming that's what it is. And I'm guessing King 5 here has the story because they think it's going to generate some clicks, and it probably did generate a whole bunch of clicks. That's my guess. But I hate stories like this, which is why I wanted to talk about it. Now, the very specific type of apple, it's called whatever you want, but it's based on being a mix between Honeycrisp and Crips Pink, better known as the trademarked Pink Lady. And so based upon that, they're saying you should give us a name for the apple. And I actually came up with a really good apple.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
It's called... Why would you ask me to decide that? How do I even know to identify the difference between a Honeycrisp and a Pink Lady? What do you think I am? I'm not a sommelier of apples. What, how is that? Could you pick out, other than the green one because it's sour, if you weren't looking at the apple, could you really tell the difference between some of these?
First of all, that was a very long name.
It was a good one. You hashtag it, it's going to become popular. I mean, you could only hashtag it and not say anything else.
I think there's a couple I can kind of
only
identify.
Only if they're polar opposites.
Yeah,
right?
Like Galas and
Honeycrisp. But we'll give you the Gala and the Honeycrisp. They're pretty similar. They're both equally sweet or a different kind of sweet. But the average person has no idea what this is. Well, quickly, tell me what a Pink Lady tastes like.
I don't know if I've ever had a Pink Lady, honestly.
Tell me what a Gala apple tastes like. How do you describe it?
How do I describe it?
Yeah. You know what this is? This is a scam promoted by Big Apple to get you to now go to a grocery store and eat the apples so that you can then think about, oh, this is what a Gala apple tastes like or whatever's in season right now.
If that's true, then that's brilliant PR.
It's fair. And I'm not saying it's not brilliant. I'm just saying that it's pretty good. They say the right now, why don't they just keep the name WA64? That's the variety of the Washington apple. WA64. Just keep that. I don't like that they say it's been in development for more than 20 years.
It's like a Franken apple. They're
right? And I know,
in the lab.
I know that they do this, and it's not quite Franken apple the way that you think, although it sounds like it for sure. It's not like the fake lab-grown meat, which there isn't a chance in the world in which I would voluntarily eat that because it's going to grow inside you, and it's going to come out as a little, you know, I don't know, a poop soldier. That's what it's going to, and it's just, you don't want it. But they say it's more, or excuse me, it's less susceptible to certain diseases. And yeah, I get why they would do that, but I just don't tell me, right? I don't want to know that you scientifically engineered an apple, even if it's 100% on the up and up and normal. I just don't want to know. It just freaks me out too much. I don't like it. And I'm willing to bet that if you told someone, here's an app, and you will have, because all the apples have been engineered at some point that you're eating, but no one thinks of that. The last time you had one of these apples, you didn't say, oh, this was engineered over 15 years to make it less susceptible. If you told that to one person, say, here's an apple that's been, you know, engineered, scientifically changed. Here's an, you know, it's organic, which, by the way, still probably went through something. They would eat the organic one, right?
I would think so. What even compels someone to create a new apple? Like,
well, because they want to get rid of the susceptibility to disease. It makes it easier you know, keep the crop. What does a gala apple, how do you spell gala?
G-A-L-A.
That's not how you spell gala apple, I don't think. Is it?
Is it not?
I thought there was an E for some reason. Oh, no, you're right. It's G-A-L-A. I said, what does it taste like, Google? This is what it told me. They're mildly sweet flavor and have a crisp texture. That doesn't tell me what it tastes like. Here's, you know, ask me.
What does a gala apple taste like?
An apple.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what's the color yellow? It's yellow. Right? How else do you, what do you want? What do you mean, what color? How do I describe? It's yellow. You want me to give you the compounds, the two different colors you have to put together? I don't know. White and yellow.
Yeah, you got to taste it to know, I guess.
Oh, my God. And then, you know, it's, here's what it should be. This is the only time I like these things. Remember, I can't remember what the boat was, but they wanted us to do a boat, and it was Boat Make Boat Face. Do you remember that? Did I make that up?
The name, that sounds familiar. I don't remember what it was about exactly.
But I didn't make it up, right? But yeah, Boaty McBoat Face.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I love that. I love that. Now, if you want to do Apple McApple Face, is it a ripoff? Yeah, it makes me laugh. Give it something like a crazy name. They're not going to give it a crazy name. They never go with that. And I guarantee you that if you actually look through all the submissions, there's some really funny ones, brilliant ones, un-PC ones, and they'll never go. They'll go with, oh, we'll call it I was going to try to create a honey gala. This is like, that's what you're just putting two other apples together?
It's like what they do with dogs, you know?
Yeah. It's just like, we don't need to do that. Call it, let's really screw people. Call it a dog. What are you eating for a snack? A dog? What? No, don't worry. And then you eat the little apple. Yeah. Is it a baking apple? I didn't read the whole story.
Are there apples you can't bake? I mean,
well, there are baking apples. There are apples that are easier to bake.
Sure.
Because they, you know, they get mushier faster. I don't know. It's a stupid apple. It's not even going to come out until 2026. And it's not expected to go on store shelves to 2029. You think anyone's going to remember this? No.
Is that by 2026?
Or? It says they're not expected to until 2029.
So that's more precise language.
Yeah. It's not in and out. I do want apples now. You know what you win if you get this, if they pick your name? A box of apples. That's it?
It's really underwhelming.
What if they don't even like the apple? And how can you name an apple you don't taste?
Yeah, good point.
Wait, what are we doing here? What if you call it honey and it's bitter? Right? They're bitter apples, sour apples.
Yeah, like Granny Smith's. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Jason Ranch Show. I've got so many probing questions.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
When you want to keep listening but won't be near a radio, there's an app for that. Stay with KTTH as Republicans push to win back the White House.
We just saw Biden down at the border. It was his second trip in 2 years, both for political reasons, both photo ops, and in both cases, he did not even see a single illegal immigrant, which almost takes effort given what's happening down there. They didn't want him to see it. They cleaned the whole thing up.
Download the AM770 KTTH app in your Apple or Android app store or at KTTH.com.
The Jason Rant Show.
Here to react, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rant.
And the rise of soft on crime laws and policies have made it worse.
Our man in the Pacific Northwest, Jason Rant, is on that.
You keep on bringing these extraordinary stories from Seattle. It's amazing.
Long form.
Members of a local women's country line dance team say that they were effectively kicked out of an event, the Emerald City Hoedown, that they were invited to after organizers claimed their American flag outfits made some Seattle dance attendees feel, quote, triggered and unsafe. Lindsay Stamp is the co-captain of the Borderline dance team, and she joins us exclusively. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
So a lot of people saw a Facebook post that the Borderline dance team posted on their account, taking us through what happened over the past weekend. If you could, just start from the beginning. They invited you down to perform. It's a sort of a dance convention. And when you showed up, didn't quite go the way you expected.
Sure, it really didn't. So they've been inviting us for about 3 years now. And unfortunately, because of COVID restrictions, we haven't been able to make it, which is understandable and totally okay. So this year we were able to go and we were really excited about it, you know, put in the extra practices, piece together this great performance. The girls get babysitters and we do a lot of work surrounding this to prepare for these types of things. Mm-hmm. And when we showed up, I had actually bought a ticket for the day. So I'd been there since about 10 o'clock in the morning, dancing all day and taking classes. And it's a really well put together event. The teachers are really knowledgeable. They do an excellent job. It was a great event. But then my team showed up. And as I was actually getting ready, it was my co-captain and one of our other members that was approached and said, they kind of said, you know, he felt real bad about it. He said, you know, it seems that your flag tops may be offending somebody. And do you have anything else you can change into?
And just to clarify, so, when she's saying flag top, you're basically wearing a T-shirt that was made to look like the American flag.
Sort of. It's got like a stars and stripes yeah. print on it. We do follow the U.S. flag code. We would yep. never wear an actual flag as apparel or alter it in any way, shape, or form.
So you wore this to share your patriotism, it sounds like.
Absolutely. We're a patriotic group. We support our military, our veterans, our first responders. We're a group of patriots. So, they showed up and it was just brought to our attention. And they were very cordial and very, very nice about it. That our flag tops were offending a small percentage of the convention goers, and it was suggested that maybe they would boycott it. We were okay with that. I mean, that's mm-hmm. sometimes the way it is. But then it was kind of we were basically without being completely clear about it. They gave us basically an ultimatum saying, well, you know, if you would like to change back into your street clothes, which most of the girls came there wearing their uniform tops, so they didn't have their street clothes with them. Or we can supply you with these Emerald City Hoedown shirts from years past, and you can perform in those. Well, I mean, because we don't take a political stance as a team. We never have, and we never will. We have people from all walks of life on our team, all political views, everything. And we don't take a political stance, but we are patriotic, and that's at our core.
Yeah, and that's apolitical.
We were not willing to take our tops off and wear something else.
So just so I understand how this started, about how long were any of you in the American flag themed T-shirts that people even saw it and complained?
So my team started showing up at about sometime between 4:30 and 5 p.m., and it was no more than an hour later.
Wow.
So we kind of all filed into one area and, you know, we grouped together waiting to do our practice. And
what was the actual complaint that they had?
So it sounded like the complaint that they said that there was a small percentage of the convention goers that felt that were triggered by the flag. And they had felt unsafe about it. Like I said, in my post, they had mentioned, you know, the situation in Palestine, and then also the trans community in America. And again, my team doesn't take a political stance, so we came to dance.
Well, and did they mention what the connection was beyond just maybe not liking American policies, I guess?
No, not really. To be honest, we didn't have a very long conversation about it. I think that while we were both very cordial and very professional about it, we both knew that there wasn't going to be much of a change on either of our stances. So it was short and sweet.
So the organizers of the event, the Rain Country Dance Association, they posted kind of a statement, didn't quite directly respond to some of the claims that you made, but they said that they would provide a larger statement towards the end of the week. But they say, "We appreciate y'all giving us the time to clear up misunderstandings and address the situation with people directly involved." So a few questions based on that. The first one being, have they reached out to you since?
No, they did reach out to us, and we spoke at length with a couple of people at the time, and there were apologies made, and profuse apologies made. Very kind people, again, very kind people. But no, they haven't reached out yet. I think I imagine they're probably figuring out how they want to approach it. If there was a misunderstanding, we can certainly work that out. This is not political for us. This was purely about patriotism.
Thinking back to the conversation that was had, I mean, is there the possibility realistically that there was a misunderstanding or a miscommunication of some kind? Because it sounds pretty clear to me based upon your recollection.
Again, it's pretty clear to me. There's always room for error in any situation, but I don't believe so.
Now, at the same time, what was pretty cool about what happened in a pretty crummy situation was you had another team or another, you know, group of dancers that said, we're going to stick with a borderline dance team. We're leaving in solidarity. Tell us a little bit about that.
We did. West Coast Country Heat are some real good friends of ours, and they take the same patriotic and one world stance that we do, and we kind of have each other's backs. But I won't speak on behalf of them, but I will say that they are very good friends of ours, and I appreciate their support.
Yeah, they decided to basically, I don't want to call it a boycott per se, but they decided not to perform as a result of this, and they were kind of in the same camp as you in that. I'm assuming they put in lots of hours of hard work to practice.
All dance teams do. Yeah, absolutely. All dancers do. It's so much work that goes into these performances. And
we're talking with Lindsay Stamp. She's the co-captain of the Borderline Dance Team. They were effectively, uninvited, disinvited in the moment when they showed up to the Emerald City Hoedown ready to perform. They've been invited there several times over the last few years. This is the first time they actually got the opportunity to do so. They had shirts that were themed around the American flag, and a small percentage of people apparently complained that they were triggered and unsafe, felt unsafe because of the appearance of the flag, I suppose. Were you at all surprised by the reaction from the community? Because it seems like a lot of folks are very clearly on your side, but did that surprise you at all?
No, not at all. I was more taken aback by the issue with our shirts than anything else. I think the whole team was pretty shocked that we didn't even think that would be an issue. And like I had said in my post, the silver lining was that we had so many people that, you know, showed so much love and so much respect. And really, this is just such a wonderful community. And these are great, great people. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that just maybe a smaller percentage was uncomfortable with it. And it would have been nice if we could have opened up a conversation about that and maybe explain that and made them feel better about it, because it certainly was nothing political. It was nothing personal at all.
Well, just to clarify, after a performance, it does not impact policy, both domestically or internationally, correct?
No, it does not.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because, you know, I hear great things about your dance team, so, you know, maybe you have that kind of influence. You know, did you know much about the Rain Country Dance Association before doing this? And I only ask, again, not that it is political, although I think some of the complaints clearly are. But, you know, just looking into them, it's an LGBT dance community. I imagine that's where the transgender concern came. I'm assuming that's where it came from. I guess they're associating the American flag with policies they don't like that maybe have been pursued by conservatives, although it's not only conservatives. But did you know much about the group going in?
Yes, absolutely. We do our research everywhere we go just to, you know, just to know kind of what we're walking into. Yep, we knew what the Emerald City Hoedown and Rain Country Dance Association was about 3 years ago when they contacted us to come out and perform, and we have no problem with that.
Yeah, and that's kind of my point of, like, if you were these bigots who were showing the American flag with the intent of triggering people, it's like, well, probably wouldn't accept going to this particular dance community event.
No, definitely not. And no, we accept people from all walks of life. We are a wholly inclusive dance team. We're a wholly inclusive dance team. We like I said, it doesn't get, we're very diverse. We're very diverse, and we just want to dance.
What would you like to see happen moving forward? This story is obviously going to get much bigger. I think you realized that the second that you saw your Facebook posts start to go viral, and obviously coming on the show is bringing a larger spotlight to it. So what do you want to have happen?
You know, I would just love to see more conversations opened about people accepting one another, about being wholly inclusive. You know, every group of person talks about being inclusive and accepting. And I think that we need to work on being inclusive and accepting of people outside of our immediate comfort zones. And I would love to see that. I would love to see that.
Yeah, well said. I think that's a laudable goal. For anyone who's listening who is really curious about learning more, maybe they love country line dancing and they want to join, how do they get more information?
You can go to our Facebook page at Borderline Dance Team. You can send us a message there. We're at BorderlineTNW@yahoo.com if you want to send us an email.
Nice. There you go. Again, you can check them out on Facebook. I wish you the best of luck, Lindsay. I wish the women on the team the best of luck, and hopefully this ends up getting sorted out. And if it doesn't, I think all of us could at least feel pretty good about the community stepping up and saying, no, we don't appreciate stuff like this. And I like it when, despite something pretty crummy happening, you got people coming together and focusing on some of the positive, at least. So we wish you the best of luck, Lindsay Stamp. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You as well. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show. We're back with some quick hits after this.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Join me weekdays, noon to 3, as I bring on top conservative voices to talk about how this political climate will impact you. I'm Guy Benson, and every day from noon to 3, you'll hear the most powerful names in D.C. and beyond with insightful conservative commentary that informs and entertains. Get ready for smart, fast-paced political insights from the right, from someone who knows the ins and outs of D.C. and how it affects you out here in the other Washington. I'm Guy Benson, heard weekdays, noon to 3, on AM 770 KTTH.
The Jason Rant Show.
Let's bring in our man in the Pacific Northwest, KTTH, Seattle Talk Radio host Jason Rantz. Great to have you with us to tell people a little bit more about this.
Jason Rantz is in focus now.
Jason Rantz, thank you for your reporting on that.
The quick hit.
Unfortunately, there was another mostly useless hearing with Alejandro Mayorkas. He's the Secretary of Homeland Security. He's been an abject failure as it relates to doing his job about the border. And maybe actually I should even frame it that way. He's been a success because I think this is all intentional. They're choosing not to enforce any kind of reasonable border regulations. Now, you're going to get an executive order from the president in the coming days or perhaps weeks, according to Axios, in which he's going to essentially bring back some form of an old Trump era policy that he chose to get rid of, Joe Biden. He's going to bring it back so he can say that he's stopping a number of people from being eligible to ask for asylum at the border, either, you know, willfully walking up to a port of entry or illegally crossing and then getting caught. It's all for show. It's 100% political. We expect that. But we had this conversation for, what, the last few months about whether or not Alejandro Mayorkas is going to be impeached. And it's also political, let's be clear, because they don't have the votes in the Senate to do so. But they continue to talk about this. And it was supposed to happen this week. They would draft the articles of impeachment. They're now going to push it apparently until next week. We'll see if that even happens. I'm not even going to hold my breath at this point because I feel like we've had this conversation multiple times as to whether or not he is going to be up for impeachment by a certain date. Again, it highlights an issue that I do think is really important. It's smart. The same way Biden suddenly making an executive order that the left-wing press will overwhelmingly celebrate and say, see, it shows how powerful he is about the border. That's all smart politics. The impeachment is smart politics in the sense that it brings a bigger spotlight to Alejandro Mayorkas and his failures. It puts Joe Biden on the defensive, because if he's now going to install this new executive order plan, well, why did you have to do it this way? Why didn't you just have your Homeland Security secretary actually do his job? And he would have to answer to that. And he's, of course, going to defend Alejandro Mayorkas. And people who are, following this closely, they already know. The question is, will all of this which will impact the people who don't follow this closely from a sort of a, I don't even want to say in the weeds, but whatever's adjacent to in the weeds. If you have a general understanding of the issue, and you know that it's important because maybe your community has been impacted or you're seeing enough about communities being impacted, but you don't necessarily know all the names of the players, you don't necessarily know the stats, which political move will reach that person and move the needle? I don't know the answer to that, in the sense that the media plays a big role in pumping up Joe Biden, and that's obviously a role that's important in defining how the public sees these things. But also the public knows that they were lied to for a long time when it comes to the border. Biden has been lying when it comes to the border. Democrats have been lying when it comes to the border. So who knows what's going to happen? I can tell you that today you had question after question after question specifically about whether or not there is a high release rate for illegal immigrants who are caught, who are apprehended at the border. And there was a Fox News digital story that came out, I believe, this week. It might have come out yesterday. I read it yesterday about that number being above 85%, meaning over 85% of the illegal immigrants that they apprehend at the border end up being released. So here's the question. Is that 85% number accurate? Is it close to accurate? Is it in the ballpark, or is it totally, completely 100% off? And unfortunately, as always, Mayorkas said, I don't know. I'm not familiar. He never has specific details when he does these. And by the way, I don't think he's lying necessarily. I think he's choosing to not know the numbers so that he can cover himself, so he's not committing perjury, but also then so he can cover the Biden administration by not actually answering the question. I think that that is 100% intentional, 100% intentional. And it's kind of playing the role almost like a press secretary, where if there's some sort of scandal that is hitting the White House, or you think will hit the White House, you just don't tell the press secretary, so he or she doesn't go out there and just flat out lie. They'll spin when they have to, and they'll spin, of course, even when they don't have all the full story. But you leave some details off so they can never actually have to admit that they lied. They just said, well, I just didn't know that at the time. I hadn't talked to the president about this yet. It's a strategy that everyone uses. But it was a total nightmare yet again for Mayorkas. And what was just so curious to me is how people defend him on the left, as if, you know, we're not understanding of what the truth is. Like, we've not been following any of this at all. I get that not everyone knows the intricacies and the players and whatnot, or the stats. I get that. I totally get that. But we all know that there's a problem. And yet, this is what the former DHS secretary under Obama, Jay Johnson, said on MSNBC this morning.
It distracts the secretary from his ability to do the job.
What does impeachment? It distracts him from doing the job. Did he just say that?
It distracts the secretary from his ability to do the job.
What's been distracting him this entire time? Because the impeachment stuff is only a few months in. So what stopped him from doing his job the first 2.5 years? Seriously, what stopped him from doing? What was he distracted by? And again, this is part of the strategy to kind of blame Republicans, as if, because that's what he's doing, right? He's implying that Republicans are to blame, as if a political move, stunt or otherwise, is going to distract. What has he been doing because of the distraction? He just hasn't been able to focus? Because the whole idea of being impeached is because he's not doing his job at the border. So you're telling me that he's not doing his job at the border because he's getting called out for not doing his job at the border. And that's a distraction from doing his job at the border, when he can just push back by doing his job at the border. That's really your argument, Jay Johnson?
Being Secretary of DHS is border security. It's maritime security. It's aviation security. It's port security.
Heroes.
It's oversight of the Secret Service. It's oversight of FEMA, TSA. I could go on and on. And dragging Ali Mayorkas through an impeachment process takes him away from all of the vital things that Americans depend upon the DHS secretary to do to protect our homeland. Yeah. And in my opinion, this is why Americans are so fed up with Washington.
No, actually, your answer is why people are fed up with Washington. You disingenuous partisan hack. I mean, just shameful. And of course, anyone on any other network, almost, I would almost include CNN in this, would say, okay, let's dial it back a little bit. That's a little bit crazy. This is literally him being held to account. And no one can honestly say that Republicans weren't calling this out prior to getting to the impeachment phase. Because I do think, if anything, they waited a little bit too long. And unfortunately, that was because the media, frankly, other than conservative media, they just weren't covering it. They were pretending that there was no issue at the border. They didn't have any reporters embedded there. They didn't have any cameras there. Fox News did. And we saw it. Then you had the independent journalists who are more conservative leaning, who went out there. And then you had, unfortunately, no one really saw it, but News Nation was out there. They were embedded there. It's just so obvious what it is he's doing here. But again, it's just gaslighting. He's telling the American people that the thing you're upset about him doing is not really you upset at him, but upset at what Republicans are somehow doing.
Rather than solve the problem, address the problem for their constituents, they're going down this road of this political charade that Mitt Romney just said will end in an acquittal. We all know that.
Yeah, and that part is true, but unfortunately we have to put that on the record for people to follow this a little bit more closely, because you guys are lying and you get the benefit from the media lying on your behalf. Meanwhile, you've got Biden doing that Univision interview and saying suddenly he's considering unilaterally shutting down the border, even though he previously said he couldn't do it. Now he's saying he's going to check with the courts, even though he can do it. He has done it, or he undid it after the courts allowed it. And by the way, you keep pushing loan forgiveness for students, even though you know that to be unconstitutional. But please, let's hear from him.
Well, it suggested that we're examining whether or not I have that power. I would have that power under the legislation when
you have it now.
When the border has over 500,000 people.
Why would that only over 5,000? You have the power. You can't do it if there was one person who was crossing the border. You have only 5,000, right? I mean, again, this is just a game that he's playing. He put that in the legislation, so now he can say, well, you know, I'd have that kind of power over 5,000. Yeah, because you put it in the legislation. You have the power right now to shut down the border, period, end of story. However, okay, let's play the legislation game. Make that number one instead of 5,000. Make it one.
5,000 people a day trying to cross the border because you can't manage it. Slow it up.
Yeah, but 4,999, that's totally manageable.
There's no guarantee that I have that power all by myself without legislation.
You do, because Donald Trump had the power. The power doesn't change with the president. How one utilizes that power does. And you're choosing not to utilize it. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show.